a.m. Sunday morning. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM at 1340 a.m. Flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference champion, Expansion Vegas Golden Knights. We are streaming live on the LV Sports Network and seen on all our Facebook pages live. If you're listening for the first time, this is Out of Line, and we are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. I am Brian Feldman, directly in front of me, manning all the controls, as almost always, is producer and Lotus Broadcasting Sports Radio personality, Chris Magnum Chapman. And to my right on your radio dial, a big part of the show, the guy that is hooking us up on Facebook Live and works tirelessly to keep us relevant on social media, while always making sure to add his dos pesos at every given opportunity, is Jose Volonte, whose podcast, Straight Bet Sports, is weekly, but not week. Check it out. Follow this show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM, and on Facebook, it's even easier to remember. It's Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you got something to say that adds value, the Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340. Use it.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is hooked up every week thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, a great place to check out every game. Jose, what is on tap, my brother?
Oh, for the first time in a while, we finally got UFC back on blazing, which is good. The UFC was in L.A., and not only that, there's a new Minnesota Twins pitcher who broke a very unique record yesterday. And one of Babe Ruth's records that has stood for a very long time now has company. We're going to talk about that as well. Also, fact this is a feature that you're not going to want to miss. So don't go back to bed this morning, mis amigos. And today is another great nightcap. Arbitration is avoided. And a huge part of the Vegas Golden Knights, Brian, can you believe it? At least for now, he's finally secure. We're going to talk about that as well. Also, a pitcher winning 30 games in Major League Baseball. That's impossible. There's no way it could happen, right? Well, it didn't used to be, and joining us today is the only surviving 30-game winner, two-time Cy Young Award winner, league MVP, and World Series champion, the one and only Danny McClain is going to be with us on the radio as well. Alan Snell will be joining us for his LV Sports Biz Minute, as he does weekly with us as well. Plus, we'll fill you in with what's going on with all of the Las Vegas 51s games and promotions. Not only that, I know Brian really wants to talk about this, and it's going to get interesting today. Yesterday, we had the 2018 NFL Hall of Fame inductions, and we're going to hit on that as well. Not only that, don't forget, if you're driving, you're either sitting around or laying in bed, pull us up on Facebook, get involved. We're on Brian's Facebook page, we're on Chris Chapman's page, and of course, we're on my page, Jose Volonte. And after the show, we like to put up all the angles on Out of Line page, so go ahead and check it out. If you want to check out the posts, the past shows, check out the podcast page on the LasVegasSportsNetwork.com. Go to the podcast dropdown, find Out of Line, and that's where you can find us. That's what we got, so stick around. Brian's a better cure for a hangover than the hair of the dog that bit you on your ass last night. At least that's what I was told. This is Out of Line. I'm Jose Volonte, and What's on Tap is being brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and, of course, the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Hot because you're fly. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not. It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. They've got two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. They are a Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. And again, coming up here in less than a month, we're going to be out there every Monday night for Monday Night Football. And we're giving away replica jerseys. We're giving away wing parties. Man, come on down and join us. It's always a good time. I'm always walking around doing trivia questions, handing you free wings, man. So come on down and check it out for sure. But, you know, Blazin', we're going to go to the UFC. UFC 227 at the Staples Center last night in Los Angeles. And, you know, a monumental upset in the UFC. I mean, we're talking about a guy that has defended his title 12 times, a super fly. The guy's never lost, if I'm not mistaken. Demetrius, and what do they call him? He's got a
Mickey Mouse. Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse, right? Mighty Mouse Johnson, man. 12 straight title defenses, and he gets loses to a split decision yesterday. Five rounds, and they said, Henry, is it Cejudo?
Cejudo.
Yes,
it is.
13-2 now, and the flyweight championship belt goes to him. A couple of other good fights on the card as well, but huge upset. I mean, I don't follow the UFC maybe as much as you do, Jose. I know you watched it live last night. I ended up watching it on, you know, watching it after the fight, but pretty good fight. But Henry kicked his ass. He really did.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think it was a little bit of a hometown bias because you got to remember Henry's from South Central LA, but I don't think he kicked his ass. I honestly think that if you saw that fight live, don't get me wrong, I had money on Henry, so I'm glad he won the fight. But if you saw that fight, it was not. I don't think that Henry won the fight. If you want me to be honest, don't get me wrong, I rooted for him. I'm glad he did win. But if you saw the fight live, like I said, Mighty Mouse had him. Now the only thing that hurt him was late rounds when Henry would have him on the ground and he was on top of him submitting. That's when it was causing problems. And I think that's where in the scorecards with the judges, that's what the judges saw at the end of the day.
All right, I get what you're saying. I thought it was pretty clear. I thought maybe in the watching the replay, maybe one round went the other way. But the bottom line is, Demetrius Johnson wasn't the best fighter in the octagon in that fight, and he lost as he should have. And then the other co-main event, the bantamweight title, to TJ Dillashaw, and he beat, I think, Cody
No Love Gillibrand.
First round knockout, too.
First round
he pounded
knockout
on him pretty good. But right after the fight, didn't Henry went over and challenged Dillashaw, didn't he, to a fight or something right afterwards?
No, so what Henry did after his fight, when they were interviewing him after he got the title, he said, I want to move up to 145 and I want to fight this guy. Give me Dillashaw. Give me these guys. Which it's starting to become the norm in the UFC. A guy's trying to win two belts and do different weight classes. But he's got to slow down. You barely got past Demetrius Johnson. Slow down, enjoy the weight class, and then maybe move up later.
Sounds like he doesn't want to fight Demetrius Johnson again. Is what
probably
it sounds
as
like.
Well, yeah.
Because he knows Demetrius Johnson is arguably the greatest UFC. One of the hands down, greatest
best all-time UFC
fighter.
Jake said best pound for pound overall in the UFC.
He's right there.
So
he's right there.
The chances of Cejudo beating him again, probably not great. Then again, you know what? It is the UFC, and sometimes you just have a guy's number. I mean, it's just the way it works. But, you know, the one thing I will say is I'm glad the UFC doesn't have this stupid, ridiculous, non-written rule like in boxing where in order to beat the champ, you have to knock him out. That's stupid. If you're the better fighter, you're the better fighter. And, you know, there was no Adelaide Bird on the judge's scorecard last night. So, you know.
We got to be careful with that. We're friends with her husband. I see him at the UNLV games all
fine.
The time.
Robert's a decent guy.
He's a good guy.
I got no problem with him. And you know what? I'm sure Adelaide's a
We saw Robert in the ring with Max Ornelas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure
right.
She's a very nice woman. The problem is that I'm a nice guy. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm always good at my job.
Oh, she's a horrible boxing official.
But here's the thing, too. After what Demetrius Johnson did, you gotta think that he's going
to
get a mandatory rematch. There's no way you don't give him a rematch.
12 after what title he did, defenses.
27 wins. What's he? 27-3-1, 12 straight defenses.
First
like
loss
you said,
is 2011.
Yeah, you got to give him a rematch. 110%.
I mean, it's not like he was a guy. It's not like he was Buster Douglas, and he got the luckiest win of his life, and then fell off a cliff. But you know, Demetrius Johnson, like we said, I mean, he's arguably the greatest UFC fighter ever. I mean, I'm sure there's people who would say no, and you know he probably isn't, but he's in the debate just because of his body of work. And you know, an all-time great doesn't get thrown to the scrap heap just because he lost once.
No, you're right. And you said Cejudo, you put your money on him. I heard he was +450.
I bet $23 on the kid.
+450.
And I won $103.76.
Look at that. There you go. So you know,
I got it right at the end. I got it at $400.
You did.
By the way.
Well, you know, it's blazing. When you win a +450 underdog beats a favorite, I would say that's blazing. Something else is blazing. I'm going to give you a couple of honorable mentions, guys, because there was a lot going on, especially in the baseball world. This the past week. I'm not even talking about the overblown scores. We've been seeing football scores for a week now. Some amazing games, very high octane offenses. But I got to give an honorable mention to Mike Socia. You know, as a pretty good source, The Athletic did say, and it was sourced by ESPN, that this will for sure be his last season as manager of the Angels. He's had kind of quietly been the skipper of the Angels for 19 years, two-time manager of the year, World Series champion. The team has had three different names in his run: the Anaheim Angels, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and now the Los Angeles Angels. But it is so wild. He's tied with Bill Belichick. They both started in 2000 for their respective teams as the second longest tenured coach in the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, or NHL. And you know who's number one? It's Greg Popovich. 23 years at the helm of the San Antonio Spurs. But my point is, Popovich and Belichick, you know, they roll right off your tongue. But you wouldn't think Sosa's been there for 19 seasons. Kind of did that quietly, didn't he?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I guess it depends.
We're even on the West Coast, I was surprised.
I think the thing is, you know, he's been there a long time because every season he comes up as being a guy who
might get fired.
Yeah. So, you know, and you think back to that team that won the World Series. What was it, 2002, 2003?
They beat the Giants.
Mm-hmm. They destroyed the Yankees in the American League Championship Series.
They actually loved that year.
It was good to see. That was the year the Rally Monkey was introduced. And, that team was so good. Vlad Guerrero.
Salmon.
Yeah, Tim Salmon. I think Troy Gloss was on that team.
Yeah, Troy Gloss.
I mean, great pitching. Francisco Rodriguez was you know, that was his...
That's when he was coming up and making his name. Yeah.
You know what? That was a very fun team to watch.
It was.
They really were.
And I will never forget Barry Bonds booting that ball in Game 6 where the Giants were ahead, and Barry Bonds booted a ball in the outfield. And honestly, I have zero respect or love for Barry Bonds as a person. What he did on the baseball field is incredible. But you know what? Sometimes you don't like guys because of what they do off the field. I was glad to see it was Barry Bonds who screwed that up for the Giants. And even better, the fact that the Giants have won three World Series since Barry Bonds retired, and Bonds will retire having never won a World Series. And you know what? If you're a scumbag to people off the field, as Barry Bonds is, I was a witness to something Barry Bonds did at spring training in Scottsdale, Arizona, back in the late 90s. So I witnessed him firsthand that he was not a good person.
Well, Mags, you can't leave the audience hanging. What did he do?
Yeah, exactly. I want to know.
I was at a Giants spring training game in Scottsdale, and the teams were coming out of the locker room after the game. They played the Colorado Rockies. All the Rockies guys signed autographs, and all the Giants players were coming out. Scottsdale is where the Giants have their spring training. And a kid who was probably about 10 or 11 with a baseball was there with his dad. And he walked up to Barry Bonds and asked him to sign the ball. And Barry Bonds says, "Get the F away from me."
Wow.
To a kid.
Yeah.
And someone else that I had met one time told me a very similar story. Barry Bonds was walking around the mall at Planet Hollywood. And a very similar story. Kid came up, asked him to sign an autograph. And Bonds was like, "Just get the hell away from me."
So you heard it here first.
You know, it's aggravating. It's like, you know, okay, don't sign the autograph, but don't be an ass.
That's just, you'd be like, I'm not signing today. Yeah. And I get it. Look, if he signs one, there's going to be 150 people there, and he's going to be there till.
But still, just walk through them.
I'm not signing
or
today.
Or say nothing. Nothing is better than being an ass, especially to a kid. It's bothersome.
Not only that, it's spring training. You know people are there for that specific reason.
You're supposed to do that at spring training.
I couldn't believe he said F.
We're going to talk more about Barry Bonds when we get Denny McClain on the show in a little bit. Denny's a very opinionated guy, and I want to talk about a potential Bud Selig wing in Cooperstown. I've been ranting about that for a while, because these guys got to get in the Hall of Fame. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. I want to give another honorable mention on top of Mike Sosa, man. Hats off to the guy. Long tenure and a 19-year run. Pretty damn good in modern times. And talking about modern times, how about the modern-day Babe Ruth has got to be recognized for blazing. I don't know if you guys have heard about this guy at all, but the modern-day Babe Ruth... have you heard of Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Angels? He is a pitcher, and on Friday night, he hit two home runs. It is his first multi-home run game, and he became the first guy in almost 100 years, yes, since Babe Ruth, he has 10 home runs now after those two home runs, and 40 innings pitched. It's only the second guy in the modern era to do that, that is pretty damn impressive. And they are comparing this guy to Babe Ruth, but if you look at him, he's tall, he's strong, he looks nothing like the Babe, man.
And what are the Angels doing?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's a pretty exciting thing. I mean, it really is.
You have to mention, he also missed about 5 or 6 weeks with an elbow injury.
You know, 10 home runs, and he misses 5 or 6 weeks already. I guess, you know what, that's going to be a 20 home run season maybe?
Maybe, if he stays healthy. You know, the thing is, I remember, because he played for the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters in the Japanese League. I love saying that. I actually have a Ham Fighters shirt, and when I went to go see the Angels play a couple weeks ago, I wore it, and there was another guy there who was wearing the same shirt as me. Yeah, the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters is where Shohei Ohtani
came from. Because a lot of my relatives, being Jewish, are all ham fighters.
Oh, they've been
fighting ham for a long time, man.
The thing is, I knew about this guy over a year ago when he was still playing in Japan because he registered the fastest pitch in the history of the Japanese League. I think it was at 102 miles an hour.
Wow.
And no pitcher in Japan had ever thrown that fast.
102 and you're knocking balls out of the park, too. Pretty impressive.
So in Japan, I think he, you know, and my buddy scouted him a little bit. And, you know, we weren't shocked that he signed with the Angels. We knew he was going to stay on the West Coast. But my money was always going to be on Seattle because Ichiro was his idol. But, you know, I got the double bobblehead the night that I went. It was Shohei Ohtani double bobblehead night. So that's something that's going to be probably worth something in a couple of years, but I won't sell it. It's important to me. But, yeah, I mean, he is a guy who I think if he can stay healthy, he will be a Major League Baseball All-Star for many, many years.
I agree 100%.
He's that captivating of a player, and I think he brings something to baseball that we haven't seen. None of us have seen. Probably even Denny hasn't seen in his lifetime.
Well, he is the bottom line is he's flat out unique, and I would definitely say the bobblehead and that stuff is worth a lot of money or will be over time. I mean, the bottom line is, man, 10 home runs in 40 innings.
But like
pitch,
Max said,
and
the keyword is health.
5 weeks. It's great. Yeah, well, you got to stay healthy. And one other guy, finally, a major league record that you never think about fell, or I should say, at least got. It fell for sure. And it's kind of blazing in a different way. Have you heard of relief pitcher Oliver Drake, guys? Do you know who he is?
No.
Check this out. He opened the season with the Milwaukee Brewers. Then he went to the Cleveland Indians. Then to the Angels. And then to the Toronto Blue Jays. And yesterday made his debut with the Minnesota Twins. Yeah, 5 teams this season alone so far. And he pitched a 1-2-3 inning in the ninth. And the Twins beat the Kansas City Royals 8-2. But 5 teams in the same season. And we still got 2 months to go. He might find his way across another border or something. Pretty incredible, man.
What was the previous record?
5 teams. I didn't look at any of that. I just, when I saw I think it had to be 4 because 5 teams in a season, man.
That's amazing.
Pretty flipping cool. So listen, let's get Mags. Let's get the fact this right now.
Facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah, it's a fact that Urban Meyer is on paid leave pending an investigation of his knowledge of a domestic violence situation between former wide receivers coach Zach Smith and his wife. This has proven that Urban Meyer is a liar and a hypocrite and now belongs on the list of high-profile coaches that have screwed up. One day, he knew nothing about the domestic violence incident of 2015, and a few days later, he knew about it. It followed proper protocol. And wasn't it just last fall, if you guys remember, that Urban Meyer had this to say about Rick Pitino?
I don't know how much better it can get. Right now it's the best college football. Is the number either one or two in a viewership other than Monday Night Football, I think. I have a very strong opinion about the FBI and, you know, people that cheat. You know, you don't need to change the rules. You just need to enforce them. And I really believe that people who break rules knowingly and willfully, intentfully break the rules should never be able to coach again. And that would eliminate, it's no different than a player. If a player lies to the NCAA, or the player's not allowed to play. So what's the difference between that 50-year-old gray-haired guy and a young kid that I think they should be held to higher standards? So I don't understand all the confusion about that. If there's rule violations, then they're finished, their career is over, and you gotta move on. And I think the game is safe right now relative to what it was. I mean, the amount of time and effort we put into making a game of college football safer, it's real. It is much safer, and we still got to keep pushing that forward to have the player's best interest in mind. So I don't know, when I hear reform, I hear all this, and I'm not voting for reform. Enforce rules if there are rules, and keep growing this great game.
What do you think about that, guys? No one's talking about the fact that maybe a little bit of a hypocrite. I mean, you mind the rules, and he lied at Big Ten Media Day. He flat out lied. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no way around it. And then he comes back, and this is the tweet that was put out on his behalf, and it was released on Twitter yesterday. This is what he said, and I'll quote him right now. Here is the truth. While at the University of Florida and now at Ohio State University, I have always followed proper protocols and procedures when I have learned of an incident involving a student, athlete, coach, or member of our staff by elevating the issues to the proper channels. And I did so regarding the Zach Smith incident in 2015. I take that responsibility very seriously, and any suggestion to the contrary is simply false. The power of why I say and how I, of what I say, excuse me, and how I say it, especially regarding sensitive and serious domestic issues, has never been more evident than now. My words, whether in a reply to a reporter's question or in addressing a personnel issue, must be clear, compassionate, and most of all, completely accurate. Unfortunately, at Big Ten Days on July 24th, I failed on many of those fronts. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading. However, I was not adequately prepared to discuss these sensitive personnel issues with the media, and I apologize for the way I handled those questions. Guys, what do you say about this?
Here's the thing. He lied to the media. We have no way of knowing if he actually lied to the administration at Ohio State University. He lied to the media. And look, that's probably not good. But I'm just playing devil's advocate here, because personally I think Urban Meyer's a scumbag. Personally, I think he should be fired.
Well, what he said about Rick Pitino, you just jump all over this guy's neck. Now you're going to say it about yourself?
Well, that's the thing. It's like the guy has, look, he exemplifies everything that is wrong with college football and college sports in general. Win at all costs. It's actually similar to one of the political parties here in America. Win at all costs. Who cares about the rules? Who cares about who you hurt in the process? What damage you may do down the road? Win at all costs. And it's disgusting in politics. It's disgusting in college sports. And look, Urban Meyer has a track record. Here's the other thing that nobody is talking about. Nobody is talking about. What the hell is going on with the Columbus, Ohio Police Department? Because didn't Zeke Elliott have issues while he was at Ohio State for beating up his girlfriend? We don't know if that happened or not, but we know the Columbus PD was involved. We know the Columbus PD was involved here, and it's swept under the rug. There's a real problem if a university in your city is bigger than your police department. Years ago, there was a UNLV basketball player who was arrested for DUI because he crashed his car in the airport tunnel. That player was a local kid, went to Bishop Gorman. He was suspended.
Yep, sure was.
Without question, he was arrested by the police department, and he subsequently transferred to the University of Idaho. That's a problem in college sports. Your university cannot and should not be bigger than the safety of the people who live in your city. And that's a black eye on that city and their police department.
Now, here's the thing. One thing that I need to say, and I need to get this out before we cut to a commercial. This is mostly about domestic violence. That's what everybody needs to understand. He swept this under the rug. I'm going to tell you guys something real quick that nobody knows. My cousin was murdered here in Las Vegas by her husband due to domestic violence, and it got to that point. 4 years ago, she was murdered by her husband because of domestic violence. So because of this a-hole, someone else could die because he's sweeping stuff like this under the rug. This is about domestic violence. It's not about a football program or who's going to go out and coach this damn team. It's about someone that could get killed over something escalating because someone cannot control their emotions and their relationships. So let's talk about the real issue is the domestic violence. My opinion, he's done. He should be fired. Anyone that sweeps this type of stuff under the rug should be gone.
Well, he said it himself. If you break the rules, you shouldn't be able
exactly.
to coach
so
anymore.
He should follow his own
one
quote.
One thing I will say in fairness, if I want to use that term fairness to Zach Smith right now, there's two sides to every story. There's still an investigation that's going to take place to take care of all the allegations that are out there. That is something that should definitely be said and pointed out. Because one thing, I've watched both interviews intently, and I just am a little concerned with some of the things that I heard Courtney Smith say in the interview. And I thought and again, by no way do I want to downplay domestic violence in any way, shape, or form. And I think if Urban Meyer did, in fact, sweep this under the rug and did not properly tell his authoritative figures what they needed to know, then shame on him and get the hell out of Dodge. But again, make sure you're doing proper investigation. These guys stayed together. Their first incidents happened way back in 2008, and we're talking about one 7 years later. What the hell is she still with him if he's been this bad all this time for? It's 2008. Not that, you know, I'm not discrediting anything or discounting anything. What I am saying, and I'm saying it emphatically, is I really want a good, proper investigation done of this, because I did see some inconsistencies when I listened to her. He completely sounded like an ass and sounded like an abuser. I'm not going to deny that, but when I hear inconsistencies, you don't want a guy to get a scarlet letter wrapped around him for the rest of his life unless you know for a fact this guy did everything he said. The pictures were nothing like pictures I have seen before of domestic violence. I saw a slight bruise, a red mark, nothing like I expected to see when I heard these terrible pictures were seen by Urban Meyer's wife. I didn't see him.
Well, look, I can't speculate what was seen, what wasn't seen. We all saw the pictures of Greg Hardy's girlfriend.
Oh, it was, now that's, come on.
And this guy's
in the UFC beating people up. Like, this guy's in the UFC fighting people.
Yeah.
So you're saying, oh, you beat up your wife. Now we're going to let you go ahead and beat up these guys and show what you really can do.
It's a shame, you know, how some guys, because of what they do, are above the law. It's disgusting. Look, we have a priority to protect our wives, our mothers, our daughters.
We do.
You know, this is not, I have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to guys beating up their wives. The New York Giants, one of the franchises that everyone talks about as a model franchise, a marquee franchise in the NFL, they had a kicker who they knew beat up his wife at the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
And they sat on it. Why? Because he was a Pro Bowl kicker.
He'd been around for a long time. You talk about Graham, and he'd been around for a long time.
Josh Brown, excuse me, yes.
Been
he is a scumbag. Yeah. I don't care what position he plays. I don't care what he does in life. He is a piece of garbage. You put your hands on your girl, you deserve whatever comes to you.
110%.
It's disgraceful, and it's a growing problem. And I it happens in rape. We see it with domestic violence. People blaming the victim. Because they put these people like Urban Meyer on a pedestal.
Them.
Zach Smith, look, this goes back to when he was in Gainesville.
Zeke Elliott,
think
Zach
about
Smith.
It. This goes back to when he was in Gainesville. And again, the University of Florida had, 31 players arrested while Urban Meyer was there? Again, what the hell is going on in this guy's program? Because he doesn't care. Win at all costs.
Hey, we don't just see it in Urban Meyer's program.
No, we see it, but he is the perfect example to make an example of, because 31 guys, look, he supposedly counseled Aaron Hernandez, and look what that guy did.
Well, isn't Zach Smith Bruce's kid or something, or his nephew?
He's Earl Bruce's grandson,
yeah, something like that. So there's a respect factor there. But the bottom line is done. End of story. Get it, kill it, because Urban Meyer, it sounds like right now, man, the hot seat might be the understatement of the century. Listen, we got to take a break. As I mentioned, on the other side, we've got Denny McClain coming up. Hopefully we'll get a hold of Denny. We're running a little bit behind. But Denny McClain, last 30-game winner in Major League Baseball. Matter of fact, the only surviving 30-game winner. There'll never be another one. They would have to extend the baseball season with all the specialists and pitchers now probably by 40 games to come close to getting a 30-game winner. It'll never happen again. Denny McClain, the last of only 11 people, did it anyway, so pretty incredible. We'll be on the other side. This is Out of Line.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yes, it is Nightcap, and the Vegas Golden Knights general manager, Jordan McPhee, announced that the team has signed forward William Karlsson. We heard that yesterday morning, to a one-year contract worth $5.25 million. He probably would have gotten about $5 million even in arbitration. So he got like a $250K raise. It's his chance to prove himself. You know, he made $1 million last year, 25 points the season before, and he scores 43 goals in his first season with the Vegas Golden Knights. Pretty incredible, pretty special. And you know, we're looking forward to having William Karlsson back again. You know, this team is no better now than they were when they lost in Game 5, and I think Ed Graney mentioned it in his article today in the Review Journal, but they're no better now than they were Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals, but it doesn't matter. Look what they did. Look how magical they were, and you've got that number one line intact with now Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith were already sewed up, and William Karlsson's getting that same type of money now. One of the most electrifying, exciting, the best plus-minus line in hockey, and they are back intact again. And I don't know if William Karlsson's going to score 40 goals. He might not score 30, but I'll bet he scores in the high 20s plus. He'll always be better than he was the 25-point season the last year he was in Columbus. A great signing. It's really good. And, Chris, you got to love the fact that they got Wild Bill signed and in-house again, and he gets a chance to show that he wasn't a one-year wonder.
Well, yeah, and, you know, he's obviously taking a gamble on himself, too, because, you know, he probably could have signed a longer contract. But, you know, this is a good contract from the Golden Knights' perspective because, A, you knew he was going to get a raise. So they gave him I don't know what he made last year. I think like $300,000 or whatever. Or $600,000. He's up to $5.2 million now. But what's good for them is at the end of the contract, he's a restricted free agent again, which means if he goes out and scores another 35, 40 goals, there's going to be teams that may come calling for him. And for William Karlsson, that may be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. But for the Golden Knights perspective, if he does it again and someone decides they want to throw a lot of money at him and he leaves and goes somewhere else, Golden Knights are going to get a lot of compensation for that. The other thing is, there's nothing that says they can't re-sign him during the season. So let's say we get around to December and he's got 20 goals already by the end of December.
Lock him up.
You lock him up long-term, yep, because you know he's not a one-hit wonder at that point.
Yeah, you know it's real at that point. Yeah.
And he's still part of arguably one of the two or three best lines in all of hockey with Riley Smith. And I know you mentioned that, Jonathan Marchessault.
Agreed.
So it's, you know, the thing is that all three of those guys are 200-foot players. So I expect all three of them to have very similar seasons to what they had last year. Maybe 40 goals is not a possibility, but let's all remember, William Karlsson also didn't play on that first line for more than a month of the season. Yeah. So if he is a first line guy and he has a season like he had last year, maybe he scores 50.
That will be a hell of a stretch, I'll tell you that right now. The cool thing about signing him to this $5.25 million, before they signed him, they had about $13.1 million left under this with the salary cap. They still have about $8 million left, so they can still do a little bit of playing around with that. But this was huge. I think it was a huge signing. I think he is a fan favorite, and I really like what he's done for himself. I think you're right, but the one thing that made this line so special was how defensive-minded they were. And, you know, you're going to say, well, each one of these guys scored over 60 points. What do you mean defensive-minded? Again, look at the plus-minus ratio. The best plus-minus ratio in the National Hockey League on this line in the regular season. They were, at times, impermeable defensively because they were so quick. Jonathan Marchessault, I got to tell you, for a little guy, find me a better hustler in the National Hockey League than Jonathan Marchessault. That guy was a gnat. Bothersome, and yet you leave him alone at either side of the net, and guess what? The puck's going in.
You know, and the funny thing about that line, and my friend Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace actually tweeted it out, the three of those guys next year will all make, combined, about $15.5 million. That's only $2 million more than what Connor McDavid is getting paid.
That's crazy, isn't it?
So, I mean, think about that. You've got all three of those guys for next season for just a little bit more than what one player on the Edmonton Oilers is making. So, and granted, McDavid's obviously the best player in the league. He deserves to get paid like it. But when you have these guys who led the NHL in plus minus, all on the same line coming back on a team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals, that's a pretty good line. You know, the thing is, there's going to be some questions, I think. You know, you mentioned, look, they're probably not better than what they were at the end of last season because they lost James Neal, they lost David Perron, but I expect my guy Tomas Tatar to fill in, and I think the addition of Paul Stastny will be a really good addition because I think he gives Gerard Gallant a lot of options from the second line all the way down because of the type of player he is. It gives you a lot of options. So while they may not have improved, I don't think they're any worse.
No, I don't either. I think you're 100% right. James Neal just really has a knack of hanging on to the puck, and especially in the offensive zone. It's going to be tough, but I agree with you 100%, Mags. I think that Tomas Tatar is a perennial 20-goal scorer. You're going to see that this year. He's another one of those small guys. He's not the most physical player by any means, but the cool thing with Tatar, like Marc said, he can take a hit.
Well, the X factor in all of this is going to be Erik Haula. I think Erik Haula will be the X factor. Look, I like Erik Haula as a player. I think he brings a lot to the team. I think he's got a potential, again, be a 30-goal scorer. But I think part of the reason why the Golden Knights struggled against the Washington Capitals, Erik Haula went 10 games last year in the playoffs. He went 10 straight games without scoring a goal. They need more from him, but I think the addition of Paul Stastny really gives him a lot of flexibility. He could go out to the wing. He could go down to the third line center. And you know, that's the thing. There's so many good options for Gallant now with knowing he'll have Carlson and knowing he's got Paul Stastny now to be his second line center.
So quick question for both of you guys. You talk about all the players that they actually have or the players that they got. Last year, they didn't have a captain on the team. This year, obviously, you have to give someone the C. You have to give them the patch. So in your opinion, who do you guys see being a captain this year on this team?
You know, it's going to be interesting. I thought, you know, obviously it would have been James Neal if he stuck around. I think he would have definitely gotten the C. I think, you know, I don't think you can give it to a guy like Belmar, even though he wore the A last year. You're talking about a fourth-line player. I really think you give it to a guy like Jonathan Marchessault, or maybe even Riley Smith. You know, Riley Smith was an alternate this year. You could give him the C, but I really think Jonathan Marchessault, he is a vocal leader in the locker room. We've all heard him in the locker room. He, and you know what? He's always positive too. And I think Riley Smith can get a little negative. Jonathan Marchessault, you know, he's upset when he doesn't play well, but he really is a pick my team up type of guy.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing with him is he likes to put the pressure on himself. I mean, you heard it last year when they lost to Winnipeg, and he basically said, look, this is a must-win game, and everyone else said it wasn't. You know, he was the one who said, game two in Winnipeg, must-win game for us. You know, he put that pressure on himself. He carried the team at times. I'm going to surprise you. I think you give it to Nate Schmidt.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Now, the key, though, to this is Nate Schmidt is only under contract for another year. So I think you'd have to lock him up long-term.
Which they might do, but what about giving it to the old man?
Derek England is another guy.
He just had a revitalized year that you just never see from a guy his age to come here and play the best hockey of his life at 35, 36 years old. That was incredible.
He's in such great shape that he looks like he could play until he's 40.
Well, I think coming to Vegas really lit him up.
Yeah, but I'm of the school of thought that you don't necessarily need a captain. I think
they will have one.
George McPhee knows his guys a little bit better. But I think if you can get Nate Schmidt to sign a long-term contract, I think Nate Schmidt is a guy who certainly could be a potential captain going down the road.
It's a really good call. I'm going to put my money on Jonathan Marchessault. I don't think you start off your first year assigning your first captain a defenseman unless he is a really, really big name. I think you're going to give someone that first line. You're going to reward him. And I think Marchessault makes the most sense to me. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the LV Sports Biz Minute with Alan Snell in a minute. We've got the 51s report that we're going to come up with. Matter of fact, we'll do that right after the break. Then we'll go to Snell. And I do want to talk. I mean, Donald Trump, we know he tweeted some stuff out about LeBron James.
Good old Donald.
And I can't leave the NFL Hall of Fame alone, man. I mean, I felt like I was in a revival meeting. I want to know if you guys felt the same way. You can call us at any time. 702-876-1340 is the number to call. We're going to take a break. This is Out of Line. On the other side, we have the Las Vegas 51s report and LV Sports Biz Minute right now. Dotted Line, 8 to 9, every Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, flagship station of the Western Conference champion, Vegas Golden Knights. And real quickly, we're doing the 51s report. 51s report is brought to you by the Las Vegas 51s. They are out of this world. They are out of town right now, but they will be back in town come Thursday in time for Dollar Beer Night. They've got a four-game set coming up this weekend against the Reno Aces. You've got Dollar Beer Night Thursday, and you have the fireworks coming again this Friday night. Check it out. It's always a good time. Don't forget, people, you've got less than a month to go, not a ton of home games left, and the 51s will have a new name and a new home next year up in up by Red Rock.
And I think you have two more nights where they will wear the Reyes de Plata.
The Reyes de Plata jerseys. Which
I can't wait to the end of the season because I'm going to buy one of those.
I kind of want to get one too. They're pretty unique. And again,
I wish, honestly,
you
got
to get to that shop, man. They're going to start discounting stuff.
I got to let Jimmy Gemino to hold on to one for me because I'd like to buy one. But
I'll tell him to hold on to two because I want one too. I definitely.
Make that tres.
tres Reyes de Plata,
por favor. Okay.
Hopefully, Jimmy, if you're listening, put them away, man. We would love them. Hey, listen, let's get over to.
I want the Dom Smith one, though.
Dom Smith, man. I mean,
I call dibs on Dom
future
Smith.
Future first baseman of the New York Mets. Here's the deal. Let's get out to lvsportsbiz.com. We've got Alan Snell, 90,000+ subscribers right now. This guy writes a lot of articles, great photographers, great pictures. And we were just talking about it during the break, Alan. The Las Vegas Aces, the WNBA squad, very recently, a chartered flight, something happened with them. And not only did they miss the plane or were unable to get to where they needed to be, but they actually canceled the game. That is a complete revenue issue, and that is kind of egg on the face of the WNBA, isn't it?
Well, they don't take charter flights. That's the problem, is that these teams in the WNBA, all 12 of them are required to take commercial flights, so they fly just like you and me, and they're exposed to the kind of cancellations and delays that we all face. And there was kind of a sad photo of half the team was basically sleeping in chairs, it looked like, in a terminal, and it looked like a scene right out of the news around Thanksgiving weekend when they have all the delays and thousands of people just lounging around the terminal. And you know, they finally got into Washington, I think around 3 p.m. for a 7 o'clock game that was pushed to 8, and then the Aces checked with the union and they just said we're not playing. And you know, I can't really blame for, you know, going through that kind of travel process. And I think they're back on tap, I think, for today. I guess they're playing Connecticut Sun. And, you know, the WNBA has that rule that says the teams can't fly charters because some teams could afford it, some teams couldn't, and that would give a competitive advantage to the teams that could afford to have charter flights, which, as you know, is very common in, it's pretty much standard procedure in all major leagues, as well as, you know, the major football and basketball college teams.
You know, Alan, we were talking about that also during the break, is no real way to combat that right now, but a question, and you might know the answer to this because we don't. So they miss a game. Is it like a rainout in baseball? Is it something where they are going to actually make this game up? I mean, what if it comes down to where the Aces need one game to get into the playoffs? Do you make it up at that time? Jose's pointed something, so you must have found a rule.
I got the email from John Maxwell, the media director of the Las Vegas Aces, and it says that it is still unknown whether the game will be rescheduled or not. It all depends on playoff
season. Implications. Yes. Okay, so it's what we thought. So Alan, I mean, is it something, again, I totally get the competitive edge, man. You got to make it fair for everyone, so everyone's got to fly commercially. But is this something in the future? You know, is it just a matter of ramping up revenue? And I mean, the WNBA has been around quite a while now. I mean, this is kind of what it is, right?
Well, I think they're going to have to kind of look at this issue, because I think there was another team, was it Indiana, that had a problem with their travel issues, and this has cropped up before. So they're going to have to deal with this, you know, in terms of the credibility of the league. You just can't have, you know, players, you know, just exhausted, lounging around terminals and not, you know, obviously in the position to give 100% to make these games competitive. So, I would strongly suggest the WNBA relook at that charter rule or do something about transportation, because, like you said, it's embarrassing when a team shows up only a few hours before the game, you cancel it, and, you know, as you guys mentioned, we don't even know if the game will be replayed. You know, obviously it'll be, the team is, you know, is in the ninth position, you know, only a game or two out from that, you know, eighth playoff. So, you know, it's a shame that game did have some playoff implications, and now it's up in the air. And that's like you said, it's not good for the credibility of the league.
Well, definitely not, and we'll see how it plays out going forward. Of course, the All-Star Game will be here next year. He is Alan Snell. He is the lead contributor, the owner, the everything of LVSportsBiz.com. 90-plus thousand subscribers strong. You should be one of them. Always appreciate you joining the show, Alan.
Hey, terrific. Oh, by the way, Brian, we cracked the 100,000 reader mark this week.
Well,
so
I'm
a little update there for
you. Congratulations.
I'm changing my intro again, Alan. You keep doing that to me. I'm changing the intro. I love it. Alan Snell, definitely check him out, lvsportsbiz.com. Appreciate you, my friend. Hey, guys, we're just about running to the end of the show, and you know, a couple things I wanted to squeeze in there. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, makes his first start in a couple of years over in the CFL for the Montreal Alouettes. A lot of my friends and stuff poking fun of him on Twitter. People are doing that. I mean, he's four picks in the first half, 104 yards, four interceptions, no touchdowns. He did make a couple of nice tackles. He stayed with the play. Matter of fact, maybe they should move him to linebacker. But the bottom line is, guys, before you start speaking out on social media and other things, do a little bit of due diligence. The Montreal Alouettes are the Cleveland Browns of the Canadian Football League.
This guy
was in a very untenable position. It's a bad team. One of his interceptions, he shot put pass, and it bounced right off of his hands into the defender's arms. So
I don't think Montreal has won a couple of Grey Cups in the last decade, but other than that, yeah, they kind of
right
suck.
Now, they suck.
Yeah, they
and
suck.
The point is, I don't think you can gauge Johnny Manziel's comeback to football on this one game. It's going to take a little bit more time. And I don't know how you guys felt about it. We won't go into the Donald Trump and LeBron James. But last thing is, the NFL Hall of Fame induction speeches, man, it is seeming more and more like a revival meeting, man. I almost want to get a pew in my house now.
I feel like
and
I'm at church, man.
I mean, I just don't understand it. I think it's a little bit over the top. It's supposed to be about getting ducked into the Hall of Fame. I like you giving credit to your family and all the people that helped you get there, but I don't know that NFL players should be preaching the gospel to us out there.
I don't even watch it.
They're gifted athletes, not evangelists.
Not preachers, yeah.
Listen, time to go. This is Out of Line. I want to thank Alan Snell for being here. Jose Vellante, Straight Bet Sports. Check out the podcast. Chris Magnum Chapman behind the big board. I'm Brian Feldman. Every Sunday, 8 to 9, Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.